I was that kid that was real shy, just the way I was born. I was just very, very introverted. Unless I was with my buddies, if I was in a safe zone, then I would be outspoken or fun or relaxed. But if I were around people I didn't know, I spoke when spoken to kind of guy. Mm-hmm. And so when you go to 8 schools in 9 years,
wow,
it was really, really tough, you know, to deal with always being that new kid and having to meet new friends and meet new people. Going back and looking at it, I think it really helped me grow as a person, but to go through it as a kid was not necessarily a lot of fun.
That's Kirk Herbstreit, ESPN's College Game Day analyst. I really like his work. I was excited to have him on, and we have a really interesting conversation about there you hear him talking about his background, growing up, his tough childhood, but how he got into broadcasting, a really gutsy story, and a whole bunch of other things that I think you're going to find really interesting. Very, 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 very cool guy. I really liked him a lot, and I want to have him back to talk more. But before we get to Kirk's interview, just something from my week. I was on a hold. Customer service rep comes on, insurance company I had to call, and first thing says to me, is it okay if I call you by your first name? And I just thought, well, of course. But then I thought, well, they must ask that, because I guess some people want to be called by their last name, and like, how like obnoxious is that? Like, no, call me Mr. Mercurio. Some people just say, no, I would like to be called Lord and Savior. I would like to be called His Highness. No, call me Old Great One. Like, I just, I don't know. I just thought it was an odd thing, and I don't think they need to say that to people. If you're talking to somebody and they don't want to be called by their first name, I would hang up on them. All right, enjoy Kirk Herbstreit. By the way, check out my YouTube channel. We got new stuff there, youtube.com/PaulMercurio. My guest this week is an Emmy-winning analyst for ESPN's College Game Day. I was a starting quarterback for Ohio State. Passed for over 1,900 yards in his senior year. He was co-captain and held a pass completion record of 28 completions in a game against a rival, Michigan. Kirk Herbstreit, great to have you on the show, Kirk.
Hey, great to be with you. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, you've got this great book out, Out of the Pocket, Football, Fatherhood, and College, Game Day Saturdays, that I wanted to talk to you about. And it's a really great book, and it's very honest, too, which kind of surprised me in a good way. You know, sometimes you don't know how honest people want to be with their life, and I really admire it. And you know, the book is great because it takes you kind of inside the locker room and the practice fields and all of that, but also inside your life. And you and I kind of have a little bit of a parallel story. Is you made a tough decision early on in your life that took a lot of guts to go into broadcasting. And just to quote you, you said, well, you basically were offered a job at $85,000 a year to work, you know, in a traditional job, and you decided to take a $12,000 a year job in radio.
Yeah.
And just, I guess, to kill your parents. Yeah. No. And you said, quote, I had to make a choice. Do I want stability in something I wasn't necessarily fired up about, other than that I was going to make money, or do I want to do something that I really loved, which was talking sports? And I did something similar. I was on Wall Street doing law and investment banking, and I left to go into comedy and entertainment, and it was a similar pull.
Wow.
How did you
Were you already established in that field before you made that decision?
Yeah. I was several years
wow.
in, and I unraveled my life
wow.
and started over. Yeah, my wife is a saint.
I think that takes bigger courage, I feel like,
yeah.
where you were already established. I for me, it was, okay, I'm graduating. I'm about to get into the real world. Where do I want to go? Am I ready to be a grown up? Am
yeah.
I ready to like have a real job?
Mm.
Or do I want to do this over here where I can like hang out and just talk about sports? I'm not going to make any money.
Right.
You know, but man, it sounds like something I'd like to do. And I grew up listening to talk radio. Boy, what you did is did you feel like you already, like you had a chance to be successful in it, or were you just kind of scratching an itch there?
No, I was scratching an itch. I think that there's something in talking to people. Bob, you remind me of Bob Costas in a way, because, you know, you talk about, you know, listening to sports radio and sports talk on WLW WLW on in Cincinnati. And there's something in everybody's childhood, I think, that points to something that they're going to do, but they don't know it at the time. For me, it was like I loved watching stand-up comedy. Like I would beg my parents to watch stand-ups on The Tonight Show or Letterman or something growing up. Didn't think I was going to do it. You know, I come from like middle-class background in Rhode Island. We weren't entertainers. But when you look back, and the same thing with Bob Costas and you, Bob would lie in bed at night listening to Jack Buck call games. He's from St. Louis.
100%.
And he said, I was more infatuated. He said, well, I love the game, but I was more infatuated with the call of the game than the game itself. Was there a similar thing for you? There's just something there for you, right, in the call of the game that grabbed you, I assume, when you were at that age?
100%. I mean, it was from the time I can remember listening to Marty Brenneman, in my case.
Yeah.
Not because being in the Southwest Ohio, Big Red Machine, the Cincinnati Red.
It was a great broadcaster.
Listening to Marty Brenneman, he's a Hall of Famer. Mm. And listening to him as a kid, I would, and games weren't on TV, you know, back in this era. So I would, you know, you use your imagination. I almost would rather prefer listening to a game on the radio than watching it on TV, because I could sit there and just imagine the scene. Imagine, you know, Pete Rose or Johnny Bench or Davey Concepcion, you know, making a play. And Marty was as good as there was at describing the action. And so, yeah, that was my hobby. You know, a lot of my buddies were listening to music, and I was either listening to Marty Brenneman and Joe Nuxall or listening to Chris Collinsworth, you know, to the pregame show or the wrap up show. And that was like my passion, you know, along with, of course, college football. And college football, it was listening to Keith Jackson. And even as a 5, 6, 7, 8 year old, if I were in a room watching a game, I was completely in the game. Like people were making noise around me. You know, right. Like you've been to games where you're watching games with family or friends, and people are having conversations. They're laughing. The game's almost background noise.
Right.
For me, the people, unfortunately, I don't mean this disrespectfully to people, but the people are background noise, and I'm in the game. You know, and I'm listening to Dick Enberg or Keith Jackson, and I'm just consuming all of that passion, all of that energy from the crowd. And I was just hooked at a very early age.
And Bob talks about, and I'm sure this is the case with you, that the best thing that can happen is that you start in radio, because it forces you to be more artful in painting the picture for the listener. And so once you make that jump to TV, it's innate in you, the ability. Maybe you don't have to paint the pictures clearly, but there's just you just have a little bit better quality of analysis and play by play because you have that experience from radio. Did you find that to be the case?
You know, hearing you say all these things makes me want to sit down with Bob Costas and have a cup of coffee. I mean, I'm a huge fan of his, and always have been. Just incredible talent. People, I don't know, people on the outside of the industry don't realize when you can be the best there is at doing the play by play from the game, and then also be the best there is in the studio. And I think Mike Tirico is kind of the next guy that does that at a very high level. And Mike was a colleague of mine and a good friend.
I thought he did a great job. I thought he did a great job at the Olympics. Mike did. I thought he was really good.
I did too. I feel like he's becoming that next guy. So anyway, with what you're describing with Bob, and Bob's as always, he's 1,000% on. And in his case, he's as the play-by-play guy. You're describing the action on radio. And in my case, what I found is doing radio is so much. It's such a great area to train for a young broadcaster, because segments are long. In my case, I was going in and out of breaks, which, you know, when you're not trained in journalism, broadcast journalism, I was a business major, it's like the game is moving fast, you know, like for a young quarterback. Like last night, I'm watching Trevor Lawrence. The game looks like it was moving really fast for him. And for a young broadcaster doing radio, man, you're throwing the traffic and you're coming, you know, you're doing weather and you're throwing over here, and now you have a guest on, and then you're taking a phone call, and you're really learn how to be a traffic cop. And then all of a sudden I go to ESPN and it's like, wait a second. Like I'm used to like carrying all these bags of jobs I have to do. And no, I'm just doing this job. Like, this is, I don't want to say it's easy, but man, it really allowed me to just focus in on just being an analyst and just doing that role. But yeah, I can completely relate to what you're saying from what Bob said.
Well, what I like about your work is that you clearly do the homework, and you've talked about that as being important to you. And I'm going to say this, so I don't put it on you. There's a lot of screamers and yellers out there and I always say quantity isn't quality when it comes to that. Just because you say it loud doesn't mean it's smart, right? So you know, you said, quote, "I'm not typically a guy who in this era of bold takes and loud voices is going to throw something against the wall and see if it sticks. I've never done that." And I admire you for that. Do you feel any internal pressure or pressure from the powers that be you work with or for to kind of be more of the loud guy and the guy with the quote unquote shtick a little bit?
Zero pressure, thankfully. They never sat me down. I've never been told, hey, you need to get a little bit more outspoken or never. Yeah. And in fact, I don't know how much you watch ESPN or over the years, but ESPN, you know, it's always evolving and the shows are evolving. But if you watch College Game Day, we kind of have our own little island of how we operate. You know, we are not, if Lee Corso or me or Desmond Howard or David Pollack or Reese Davis, whoever's on that desk and talking, like if we agree, it's okay to agree.
Yeah.
We're not gonna, no. Just for fun, you just take that side of the argument and I'll take this side. And people like to see two guys arguing, so we'll just do that. It'll be fun. It's like, I don't think that though. Why do I want to argue that? We've never done that on our show. So if we agree, we agree. It's fine. Yeah. And if we disagree, then we're going to disagree. And I think there's a very healthy, genuine and authentic feel to the show over the years because we don't manufacture anything on the show, you know, and we don't even know, it's a lot of impromptu. Right. We have no idea what the other guy is going to say. We are very careful in our Friday production meetings not to hear what this guy is going to say or that guy is going to say.
I was going to ask you that.
We'll go through the whole show on Friday and we'll get to games. Okay, Iowa State's playing Oklahoma. Kirk, you've got the Iowa State offense. Coach, you're talking about Spencer Rattler and the Oklahoma ability to score. Pollack, you're going to hit the Iowa State. Like, we know a topic that they might be taught, but we have no idea like where they're going to go or, and then in my case, I really, you know, over the years, I like to listen to what's being said on the desk. So I might think that I'm going to be talking about a certain subject, but Des might say something that really piqued my curiosity or something I completely disagree with.
Yeah.
And I might do a U-turn and completely change what I was going to talk about because one of the guys on the desk said something that it kind of, I thought might be more fun of a discussion. So that's happened probably about, I don't know, 10 or 15 years ago. I started to do that as opposed to when I first started, it was like, this is my comment. This is what I'm saying.
Right.
No matter what happens, this is all I'm going to do.
Right. Right.
But no one's ever asked me to, you know, be more crazy or, you know, throw, and thankfully I've had some success. So they haven't asked me to change from, just being, you know, I don't have a shtick. I say that in the book. I'm just the way you and I are talking right now.
Right.
It's the way I talk on ESPN. I just prepare.
Well,
and then go.
I think I can help you though. I think we should come up with a shtick for you. So I think you should be the yeehaw guy. Anytime something big happens, you just yeehaw.
Okay.
And then you have a hat. Awesome. You throw your hat up in the air and something, or you do like you're riding. You pretend like you're riding a bucking bronco or something. No, it's listen.
The thing about listening,
like, because I do panels and stuff on TV occasionally as well, and you can tell the person that's just not listening and just thinking about the thing they're going to say, and then they miss this great opportunity. Or sometimes you get a person that feels like they need to dominate the panel, and that just doesn't work. Like, you have to be, if you're all selfless, everybody wins, and that comes through with you guys. And I think inside the NBA, what they do in basketball, you guys have a similar dynamic. Obviously, good chemistry. You don't force it. You all know what you're talking about, and it's entertaining. you're two kind of unique. They're on their island and you're on your island. And I think that, you know, you're doing something really special with the way you're broadcasting this show, because it's not easy.
It's not. And I agree. I love Charles and Ernie and Kenny and those guys, Shaq. They do a great job. And I enjoy their show because of you just hit on something that I think is true in life. You know, when people are in a conversation, and I study, because my dad was not a great listener, and I talk about that in the book, how painful that was for him not to be a great listener. So I kind of study conversation when I'm with people. And it's amazing how many people, when they get done with a comment and the other person starts to respond, they're already forming their next thought off of what they said. And they're not even listening to what the other person is saying. And they're already, as soon as that person stops talking, they're going to get their next thought out there without hearing anything. And I think in studio television, you also used the word selfless. I think when you have an entire group that is so comfortable in their skin that they don't care about who's the alpha or who's the guy that's getting all the credit, they're just interested in having a great conversation segment to segment. Right. That's when you can really have, I think, some magic. And I think we're fortunate to have that on game day with our whole group.
You know, you mentioned your dad, and this is what I admire about the book is, you know, your parents' marriage collapsed. Your dad was a quiet guy, didn't sort of emote a lot. You had some overbearing stepdads, stepmoms. You were, as you described, painfully shy. All of that, if I see that on a piece of paper, I'm like, that's the last guy I think that's going to go into broadcast television, right? Like,
right.
How did you overcome that to do this? And also tell the story of how you got the College Game Day job, because I think it's such a great story of just, you know, entrepreneurial spirit. And but the first part of that is just, you know, what it was like growing up like that and how you overcame that to go into this field.
Again, part of this book, I'm hoping these stories resonate with folks that went through similar experiences, or they can relate in some capacity. Maybe it's their own kids that maybe are going through some of this. But I was that kid that was real shy, just the way I was born. I was just very, very introverted. Unless I was with my buddies, if I was in a safe zone, then I would be outspoken or fun or relaxed. But if I were around people I didn't know, I spoke when spoken to kind of guy. Mm-hmm. And so when you go to 8 schools in 9 years,
wow,
it was really, really tough, you know, to deal with always being that new kid and having to meet new friends and meet new people. Going back and looking at it, I think it really helped me grow as a person, but to go through it as a kid was not necessarily a lot of fun. And I think in life in general, sometimes the things that we go through that we really, maybe we had pain or it hurt to go through, I think we really develop and grow as people. And, you know, just a sidetrack, I think in parenting, I think right now, my generation of parenting, I think I call it like a snow plow parenting, where we are afraid to let our kids fail. If a teacher is bad, we're going to get our kid out of that class. And we're going to get a new teacher because that teacher obviously doesn't know what's going on with my kid, or he's on a team, he or she's on a team that they're not playing them as much. You take him off that team and we go put him on another team where we're going to make sure that he gets a chance to play. And I think going through, if you go back and think about your life, going through things that were tough for you really molded you and helped create your core values in life. And I feel like we're raising a generation of kids where we're trying to protect them from failing and protect them from feeling pain.
Yep.
And, you know, unfortunately you got to go through some of those tough times to really grow. And I talk about that quite a bit in the book about, I went through things that, whether it was divorce, my dad remarrying and divorcing again, and my mom remarrying and getting another divorce, and all these step families that were in and out of my life, whether it's that, you know, or going through being an athlete and being asked to do things, get up at 5 a.m. and work out. Like, who gets up at 5 a.m. as a 16-year-old and works out to the point of vomiting, you know, and it's like, I didn't want to do that.
Right.
But man, when you go through these things, they're game changers for you in life. And so the way I became comfortable in getting to a point where I'd be on TV speaking in front of millions of people is I found my niche, which was sports. Mm. I found football. I became good enough to be, you know, and go to a college and become eventually a starter my senior year after a lot of red tape. Mm-hmm. And every week as the captain of the Ohio State team, I would do interviews and I would be subconsciously doing training for my future because I would have 10 cameras in front of me and I would have 15 microphones in front of me. And every day or two or three, four times a week, I would sit there and do all these interviews to a point where I went from having almost social anxiety with it to almost looking forward to it and being comfortable sitting there and talking about, you know, playing Purdue or playing Iowa or whoever we were playing. And when I got out of school, all that training, I think, when I got into radio, it really allowed me to not necessarily get up in front of a group of 50 people and give a speech. You know, I still had fear of that, but I had a lot of comfort in being able to talk in front of a microphone and be able to talk in front of a television camera. And I just allowed my natural personality to come out as opposed to feeling fear, that same fear I get up when I get up to give a speech. I didn't have that when I was talking about something that I had passion for and something that I loved. And then when you mix in my preparation on top of that passion, it just became the right lane for me in life. And, you know, I'm on my 26th year of doing it. And I just seems like every day I think about how fortunate I am to have found something that I love to do. And, if I didn't, I don't know if I would have ever overcome, you know, a lot of those fears that I had.
Yeah. But it worked out the way it should be because you get your feet wet with, as you mentioned, as a player athlete, being a student athlete, being in front of the camera. And I think going to radio first was the best thing for you because you're in front of millions of people or hundreds of thousands of people, but virtually, so that you can kind of get even more comfortable in that little room. Cause like I'll do radio, either co-hosting with some people or just when I'm on the road doing stand up and I got to, you know, go, like I work in Columbus a lot at the Funny Bone there. Which is a great room. You forget the power of it. Like you say something on the radio and then I'll be out getting lunch an hour later and they're like, oh, I heard you on, so-and-so. And it's like, oh yeah, I forgot that actually goes out to people and they hear it. So it's like, there is that, it worked perfectly for you, I think, in that way to get you the point where you're like super, super comfortable on camera.
I was just going to say, I saw my English teacher about 5 years ago at a function back at my high school. My mom still lives in that area. And I had to go to it was like a Hall of Fame dinner and she was there. And this is the same teacher my senior year where she said, okay, Kirk, it's your turn for your big presentation. And I said, no, I'm good. And she said, you're good. No. What do you mean you're good? This presentation is 25% of your final grade. Oof. And I was like, no, I'm good as in like go to the next person. I'm not giving a speech. And, she eventually went on to that other person, called me into class after, like, what's wrong? You know, and I was like, I can't get up in front of the class. I just can't do it. I'm sorry. You know, it's too scary, you know, and here I was being recruited by every school in the country and supposed to be this like, you know, big man on campus kind of guy. And I was the opposite, you know, in my own mind. And then here I am, you know, doing what I do for a living. And I see her 5 years ago and she's like, do you remember me? And I was like, I could see her face. I was like, Mrs. Neidhart, oh my gosh. And she's like, I just had to come to this event because I heard you were going to be here because I had to come over and tell you, I can't believe this is the same kid who skipped his speech his senior year in high school. She's like, I'm so proud of you for what you've become. And I'm just like, oh, it was so crazy to think.
That's great.
It just shows parents, you know, kids change. You know, you can always evolve and change.
And you need to support them in where they are in the moment. Well, listen, I mean, it's a great story. The book is fantastic. It also, you know, let me get you on again because I want to know more about what actually happens in a locker room, you know, especially at trying times during a season and stuff like that. So the book is really fantastic. It's Out of the Pocket, Football, Fatherhood, and College Game Day Saturdays, a Kirk Herbstreet. Great to have you on, man. Let's do this again and talk some more about the book.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me on, and hopefully we can talk real soon.
All right, there you go. That's Kirk Herbstreet. ESPN's College Game Day analyst, and book is terrific. Check it out. Thank you for checking out the podcast. Check out the YouTube channel. Don't forget to tell your friends about the podcast. Spread the word around. And we will see you guys next week.